This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I just referred to masturbating as catching up on some stuff, so don't shake my hand around tax season.
Sorry. Oh, that's funny. I'm Brandy Posey, and Luke, I am your scrub daddy. Oh my God.
They should.
Star Wars. I'd buy that.
Hit them up.
I'm Tess Barker, and it hurts my feelings when people don't eat carbs.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady. Ladies and
ladies. Yay! Welcome to the show.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I feel it hurts my feelings when I don't eat carbs. Yeah, too.
You know, it hurts everyone's feelings.
I'm glad we're all on the same page. I think I just love pasta so much that I take it personal.
Also, need them to live and survive.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'll be the first person to start talking to you about that. I'm like, ever since the dawn of time, people have been eating carbs. Anyway.
What do we got? Any special dates and deets happening?
Yes, a couple of dates to drop. October 7th, I'm going to be in Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival. October 8th, Los Angeles, Picture This is here at Nonplus Ultra downtown. And then this is just a little ways out, but I just want to get it out there to begin with. October 22nd, Asheville, North Carolina. October 23rd, Charlotte, North Carolina. October 26th, Jacksonville, Florida. And that'll be at Fest the weekend of Halloween. If you're in Gainesville, come hang out. Yay.
And my dates in Tahoe and Truckee got moved actually to October. So a few people reached out to me about that, and I will be there. The second week of October. I'm still figuring out details, but October 13th through the 15th. So if you're in the area, just, keep an eye out for that.
Hell yeah.
And stuff. And also, we should say we are doing a special live stream for our patrons on October 16th, Monday. It's going to be super fun. We're going to be getting ready for our Halloween costumes and all that stuff. So join our Patreon to join that. It's patreon.com/ladytolady. We also have tons of extra fun bonus stuff. And we're doing these live streams more regularly now and just kind of jumping on and doing fun themed ones. So come get spooky with us.
Yeah, it's fun. I just got the Home Depot put out a 3-foot, 12-foot skeleton, and I'll show him to you guys on that live stream. He's a mini one of the exact same thing.
That's 3 feet. Okay. So it's 3 feet skeleton.
I hope he's cradling him.
I mean, he will be. Patreon.com/ladytolady to see that in action.
Wow. And I'm gonna actually make good on doing a Halloween costume this year. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned.
You guys are helping us too. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Well, our episode today, we have a delightful guest. She's a mouthy broad from New York. She has two podcasts, Close Calls and Respectfully. Enjoy our episode with Lizzie Cassidy.
Let's just say hi to our guest, Lizzie Cassidy. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Lizzie.
Yeah. Your bangs are on point today.
Joining. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Are you a self trimmer?
I used to be. I was like very much the first time I had bangs, I cut them myself and I always trimmed them myself. But now I have like a really good hair stylist lady who I think would kill me if I touched my own bangs.
They look great. So. And the, I don't know you that well, but they do look professionally done. Like,
they do.
Thank you so much.
I couldn't pull that off, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much because all my friends are like stinky boy comedians, you know? So I spend like $400 on a haircut and they're all like, I didn't even notice you look different, you know?
Yeah.
And then I talk to women and they're like, your bangs look expensive.
Thank you.
Welcome to Lady Tilly.
That's all I want.
Yeah. Yes. I'll never forget the first time I wore hair extensions. I went and picked, he was my boyfriend at the time, my husband, but I went and picked him up from work and he just goes, you look hot. And he didn't know why. I'm like, my hair is 9 inches longer.
Yeah, one time I cut all my hair off and my friends were like, what's different about you?
I do feel crazy paying for a bang trim, though, because, like, it's just, it feels so weird being like, here, take my, and I know it's an, you know, obviously they deserve, people deserve to get paid for it, but it does make me feel like nuts. So I've been doing it myself to varying degrees of success.
Okay. I'm actually glad we're talking about this because I don't want to alarm anyone, but I am on the precipice of a bang.
Wow.
Love it. Love
this
it.
Is big, this is big for Tess.
It
huge.
Is big for me. I which, never mix up my hair.
Like which, a side when, or a big it,
when is
or
the
what?
Last time you had bangs?
Like, before I was dating Sean, so I guess like 11 or 12 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it was back when I was still single processing my hair, when I was like a bleach blonde. That's the last time I had a bang.
What's the impetus? What's the Big Bang Theory behind?
Well, TBH, I've been taking these hair supplements and it's giving me new hair.
Ooh.
So now I'm like, do I turn, like, it's almost like I'm... don't have a choice, like the bangs are just coming. So do right, I just lean into it and like cut proper bangs?
Yeah.
But okay, let me tell you guys my concerns and then you guys tell me. Okay. My last time I had bangs, I just remember that like if you don't style them every morning, you look insane. Yes or no?
That is true.
Yes. You have to,
that
you
is
have
a
to
lot.
Do something with them.
Yeah.
The only thing that, and the I think I say go for it because I'm very excited and I think you look fucking amazing.
Okay.
But I will say that you exercise all the time and it does, they are a huge pain in the ass when you get sweaty all the time.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
You're always having to fucking put them back and then style them and then all that shit. Mm-hmm. So they do get really annoying.
Right. So like every time I grab a shower, like after a workout, I'm going to have to then blow dry my bangs.
You'll have to.
Yeah. But it also does take like 5 minutes to
they're
blow dry
very
your
fast.
Bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
You know, can you do
you don't
just
have to blow
the bang
your
and
whole
let
head.
The rest air dry? You can let the rest air dry. Okay.
Definitely.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only area you really need to do. But like everything else, you can kind of just let, you know, do whatever.
Okay.
I'm always pro bang because of the like the stereotype that it means you're going through something. You can see, you can find out who cares about you. You know?
I like that too. And it'll only
get
be
bangs.
Women that
get
know
get bangs
that.
And see. Yeah. Get bangs and see who's asking questions about how you're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Thanks, guys. I'm glad we talked this through.
I'm excited. New era.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
Well, that's bang talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banging.
Love it.
Lizzie, how are you? We've only like spoken on text and shit like that. So I'm
I know.
To like get to like meet you. How was your day?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here. I've had a hectic day. I woke up in my, every time I have to do something at like on Zoom, a podcast, a meeting, whatever, my Wi-Fi stops working. This is like a consistent theme in my life. So I had to run to this like little office that my friends and I rent. And I did the thing where I was like, I'm running late, I'll get an Uber. And then the Uber driver is just like a moron, for lack of a better term. Like, he's like texting and like using, I mean, this wasn't this guy specifically, but he's using like one of those hand workout things or something. Like, he's always doing like 17 things at once and there's traffic. And you're like, obviously I'm in here because I'm running late.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I live in New York City. There's public transportation literally everywhere.
Right.
Do you think I would be in here if I was on time? It's also 1,000 degrees in New York City, is just a fucking nightmare.
That is a city that smells really good when it's hot, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. The smell
smells like lately when I get into Ubers. I don't know if you guys have this, but when there's like a scent, you know, someone's using an air freshener. oh my God, it's always so overwhelming in my brain. Yeah. Like, I get a headache immediately. And I'm just like, let's not. Can we just not, whatever this is? Like,
yeah, don't, every time I take an Uber,
I will take whatever the other smell is.
Yeah.
Every time I take an Uber, I'm like, I'm going to pay $40 to be nauseous for the rest of the night. And that's just like, that's just what it is.
Our friend,
you know?
Alan was just there and he was like, I was like, how was New York? And he was like, it was great. I didn't go underground once. And I was like, what does that mean? he was like, oh, I didn't take the, and he's public, I didn't take the subway. I just did like Lyfts or Ubers. And I was, he was like,
that's so,
I know. He was like, it was impressive. Great. You just have to spend $1 million, but it was great. I was like,
yeah. Okay. Like, you can
you just
tell us you're rich, Alan.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Can I tell you guys once, like, this is a long time ago, but I got a used car. It was my Passat. It wasn't the person I bought it from, but I don't think. But the scent that was left in this car was of a man. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, kind of sexy. Like, I was kind of... I was kind of turned on. Yeah, a little bit. I had like 2 weeks where my car was making me horny.
It was like a musk. It was more of a musk than a scent. Yeah, yeah, I get that. I get that for sure.
I mean, that's the thing is like these smells can go so, you know, because like, yeah, there can be the like kind of like, oh, a horny smell, but that's never what it is.
Yeah.
It's always.
You just need a hint. You just need a hint. You don't need a lot. Mm-hmm. I was a Lyft driver for years and, on weekends, I stopped driving in Hollywood because people would get in doused in cologne or perfume. And I was like, are you a corpse and you're hiding your rot? I don't understand.
I mean, on the inside, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between a horny scent and a scent intended to make you horny. Yeah.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? Like, if somebody's putting on cologne because they think it makes women horny, it's disgusting. Yeah. But if you're like, if you just like catch a whiff, it's always, for me, it's always like a guy who like I hug him and his clothes smell like laundry detergent. I'm like, oh my God, like you could take care of me, you know?
I'm into like aftershave and tobacco.
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Oh yeah.
Love that vibe.
Yeah.
What Kevin like McAllister gets into when his parents are gone. That's what we
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also like, I'm a problem. So I'm like, if you smell like whiskey and cigarettes, I'm going to like fall over in front of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the cowboy scent. It's the classic cowboy scent.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So I know you co-host Close Calls with our pal, Kevin Casey White.
I sure
do. Tell us about the show and what your some of your, I don't guess, favorite almost death experiences were.
Yeah, it's a comedy podcast about near-death experiences. So we like either research and find stories about people who have almost died in crazy ways, or we have comedians on and either tell them one of those stories or ask them about a time that they almost died. My favorite is a story about these two people who got lost in the Amazon together. And it's not my favorite story because of how they almost died. It's my favorite story because they were exes when they went.
Whoa.
And just the two of them?
The like,
wow.
Yeah. And it's the relationship drama that gets me. Like, they got lost in the jungle and that's scary, you know? But the fact that like they had to go through the will we, won't we while they were dying in the middle of the rainforest is hilarious.
Like
to me.
I was on a break.
So did they?
Yeah.
They did like when they were, you know, when they were in the shit, they like talked about getting back together and they were like, as soon as we get out of here, we're going to get married, blah, blah. And then like the interview I watched just cuts to them like 6 years later. And they're like, so that didn't end up happening.
Yeah. They probably like hooked up once and then were like, wait, I remembered I hate you.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was like he brought her to the Amazon because he was still in love with her. So she was like dying and she was like, sure. And then they got back home and she was like, just kidding. My life still exists here, so I'm out.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I don't want to think about trauma bonding every day.
Yeah. I guess I do. Now it's like, girl, why were you on that trip?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, girl. He said it was like her dream to go. So, I mean, like, I guess if my ex was like, hey, I paid for your dream, I'd be like, all right, I can be nice to you for a week.
Yeah, but that makes me really glad they didn't get back together because that's really manipulative.
Yeah. Oh, the whole thing was like a problem for sure.
So do you like those adrenaline kind of like situations?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sober. I'm like a sober addict. So I'm not like a sober addict. I very much am. So everything, I like anything that's like, I mean, I think that's why I do stand up every night. Like I like the jumping, like the stepping off a building feeling of it because I can't get it from anywhere else anymore. So I'll put myself in a shitty, scary situation for sure. I'm like a little bit of a chaos junkie now that I'm not like a regular junkie.
What's the last time you intentionally put yourself in a scary situation?
I mean, I've gone on a lot of Tinder dates with strangers.
That's scary.
I mean, I met my boyfriend in a hotel room for the first time. Our first date was we just met at a hotel room to fuck.
Oh, I thought you meant you like were in a hotel. You just saw him in a hotel lobby.
No, that was the first time we met from Tinder, which is like objectively so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But I mean, I did like tell a bunch of other women where I was, you know, like that thing. Like they're going to do anything. I mean, I'm sure if I stopped texting them back, they'd be like, she's having sex. But true. I tried, you know, and then that ended up working out. So, you know. I'm not advocating for meeting strangers in hotel rooms by any means, but sometimes you just like get lucky, you know?
Literally. I mean,
at least it was a hotel and not a motel. Like
that's true. That was actually a specific point that I made when we were making plans.
Look, I feel like, again, yes, A, we're advocating. Don't just meet anyone in a hotel. But
absolutely.
I will say, as someone who has, you know, ridden that line and also met a lot of people from Tinder and stuff like that, so you sometimes feel like you generally can like suss out people fairly well.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. My friends were like, "You just met a stranger in a hotel room," and I was like, "We FaceTimed first," you know, like a total idiot.
Well, what's that difference? Like, as if like getting a drink serial at a bar killers and then meeting at their house. I mean, if you
as if serial killers aren't famously charming, you know? Like, I was like, "Yeah, he seems like a nice guy."
Why, out of curiosity, did you go straight to the hotel? Like, was there just like, fuck, we don't, neither of us wants to go to dinner? Or?
Yeah, it was just like it was like a hookup vibe, you know? What are we gonna spend money on a dinner,
right? Yeah,
for like
love
let's
that
just skip the
someone I met on Tinder who I started sexting immediately. Like,
right,
I mean, at first he was like, I'll take you out to dinner, and then I was the one who was like, all right, we don't have to do this whole charade, you know? But then we actually started dating and I was like, you have to take me on a real date.
Yeah.
Yeah. No such thing as a free hotel fuck, mister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I got together with my husband. People were like, how'd you get together? I was like, we were friends for 5 years and then one night we had sex.
Yeah. Yeah. I love you know, meeting women who are like, you can't have sex with a guy for the first 6 dates or whatever. And then I'm like, I always do.
Yeah, I feel like those rules are so, they don't matter at all. Like, really, truly.
Yeah.
It only matters.
I don't want to be with a guy.
Yeah, yeah. You want to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to be with a guy who would.
Yeah.
Or I also don't want to be with the kind of guy who would think I was a whore for fucking on the first date. Like, if that's how you feel, then I'm not going to be able to tell you any of my stories. You know what I mean?
Like, but I've had the experience like where I'm glad I waited because like with a few guys where I was like, you know what? I'm going to like hold out one more time. And then I've been like, thank fucking God, because they, you know, then I see the like little worm that they actually were. So, like,
100%.
Yeah, most of the time, no. And then I found out later. But I remember one specific guy where I was like, I'm going to wait. And then I was like, oh, thank God. Like, he really showed himself.
Yeah.
Also, I think you can people don't know this, you can fuck a guy and then still ignore him.
That's legal now. That is allowed. You can totally do that, it turns out. And that feels so good.
It really does.
I was just watching.
I love doing that. I love ghosting a guy.
I'm so sorry to bring this up, but I'm going to reference Below Deck reality show. But I was watching a season this girl had hooked up with like the chef on their past like boat. And then she she was kind of like overwhelmed by him. So she tried to ghost him while they were working on the same boat together.
Amazing. I love her.
Unless she's actually wearing a sheet, it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Gonna be like,
unless you have the disappearing cloak or whatever, it's not.
I mean, that's like when you try to ghost a comedian or a comedian ghosts you. It's like, you know, right. I'm like around.
Yeah, like, bro, we're on everywhere. The same lineup.
Yeah. Dude. Like all the time. How do you, that's how we met.
Yeah.
I got ghosted by a comedian who had just moved to New York. And so he didn't know anyone here. And he had lived here for like 2 weeks. Move. And he goes to me, and then I send him a text, like, calling him a coward. And I was like, I dare you to try to work in this fucking town. I was like, I know everyone. Haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
And then I heard recently that he quit doing stand-up. And he's the second guy I've dated who quit doing stand-up. So I texted my best friend, who's a comedian, Andrea Allen, and I told her that. And she texted me back, no one can survive you. And I was like, God, that feels good. I love to win, dude.
It's too bad you're in a relationship now, because we could really use more of your services, honestly.
I know. Yeah. We need some.
I know. That's what everyone says.
Some filtering.
I know. Every guy I've told that to is like, I actually have a list of comedians I'd like you to date.
Get them out of here.
Yeah, at some point we just maybe should create a its own reality show that's like you put 10 comedians in the jungle and then only two.
They've tried. I've gotten emails that are like, do you want to audition for this? And I have friends who have done it. There was like one they were trying to make, maybe they still are, about like comedians who are in relationships together. Which,
I think I heard about that one, yeah.
But I'm like, make it about single comedians and watch all the sucking and fucking and fighting that happens.
Yeah, you know? Comedians in relationships, we're just like as boring as other people in relationships.
Relationship, yeah.
Well, and also like I think like comedians who are single are much more willing to put everything out there. If you're,
totally.
If you're in a relationship with somebody, you're like, oh, I don't necessarily want to tell the world about our shit because you know,
you guys all know
keep
him.
That private.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I podcast when I'm single and when I'm in a relationship is completely different.
Oh, yeah. You look back at some previous seasons of this show and it's like, oh, it's a whole other story. We're nice, delicate ladies now in comparison.
I love that.
But it's also the same thing. It's like, I don't want to date a guy who's going to get mad at me for like, telling a story on a podcast. So every time I start dating, I'm like, here's my podcast. You're going to hate it. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if you still like me, even though every story I tell is about some loser I fucked before I met you.
Happy listening. Do most guys that you date listen to your podcast?
I think it's like a good 50-50.
Really?
Some of them are really into the idea of listening to it, and some of them, like, refuse to listen to it.
Yeah.
I think I prefer when they don't listen to it because I feel like it's, like, an unfair advantage on their end. Like, now you know the version of me when I'm talking to, like, I have two podcasts, one with Kevin and one with my friend Andrea. So it's like, now you know the version of me when I'm talking to my two best friends.
Yeah.
And like, you don't get to have that version of me yet. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't have that version of you. I don't see what you're like when you're around your friends and you're like completely yourself telling all of your secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to necessarily be like, oh, I know everything about you and you only know what I decide to tell you. Like, I think that feels a little uneven to me.
We all understand podcasts. The relationship is only supposed to be parasocial. It should not be anything.
Yeah. No. Exactly. When one of my real life friends is like, when you said that on your I'm like, I forgot you listened. Oh my God.
I know.
It's so scary when someone texts me and is like, I was just listening to your podcast and then I can't see the rest of the message and I'm like, oh God, fuck, what was it?
What was it?
But also shout out to all my real friends listening. I love you guys.
And you are our close friends, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like when a boy, it's like, it's a different thing. I mean, I know my boyfriend listens to this and it's sweet. It's mostly good. And again, like I know that I want to be with him because he never judges me about, you know, anything I say.
Sure.
But
they're listening. I think once you're in a relationship, it's like, yeah, I want you to be like a fan of what I do. I want you to think I'm funny. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be like, I'm not going to listen to my girlfriend's annoying podcast, you know?
But it's like bitch yap all the time.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. But when you're first dating someone, it's like, Maybe not
yet. No, like, I mean, I definitely remember crushes in the past where I'd be like, oh my God. And I had like listened to some podcasts they were on. And it's such a my weird dynamic.
There's like making noises, saying horrible shit. You're like, I shouldn't have done that.
There's
I forgot about it. It's been so long since I've been single, but I forgot like how creepy you can get with someone.
Yeah, I'm so creepy, dude. Like, every time I have like a lingering eye contact with a guy comic, I'm like, well, I'm going to go listen to every podcast you've been on in the last year to see if you have a girlfriend.
You made me do this.
If a guy told me he was doing that about a woman, I'd be like, you're a monster.
Yeah. But it's out there. All right, we're going to go look at our internet histories and
yeah, clear some shit.
We'll be right back. BRB.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Lizzie.
Lizzie, do you want to play a game with us?
I would love to play a game.
That sounded creepy.
Would you like to play a game? Very saw. Very saw. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
I'm big into games, dude. I'm a big games guy. I love games.
Okay, good. Oh, that's interesting.
This one's open to interpretation. No wrong answers. It's called This or That. Here's our theme song.
This or that. This or that. This or that.
Love the theme song.
Thank you. Okay, this or that.
Okay, funny story or one-liner?
That's
a toughie.
This is a toughie. Are we talking, because it's different if we're talking like conversationally or on stage. You know?
I guess like in a conversation, it's weird if there's only one liner.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like somebody who's like doing bits to that level in a conversation is pretty exhausting. Like,
yeah.
A one-liner guy is a pun guy, you know? And like, I don't need that in my conversation. So I'm going to go funny story if it's conversational. But if I'm watching a comedian on stage, I might go one-liner just because I have ADD, you know? So like... I'm not going to follow the whole story. I'm doing 10 other things in the back of the room. I'm like talking shit with comedians. I'm on my phone. Hit me with a one-liner.
Some bite-sized humor, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One-liner comics who can really like pull it off. It's a very specific skill. Also just remembering all of them. I'm like, how the fuck do you remember all these jokes?
Oh, I know. That must be such a hard set list to remember because a lot of times they're not like related to each other either. It's just like...
They're almost like completely separate.
Yeah.
It's gonna be some internal thing that they have connecting it or some weird story or something that only.
Yeah. It's also one of those things that's like when it's good, it's so good. It's like watching a magician, but when it's bad, it's so bad, you know?
And that can be funny too. A bad one-liner can be very funny.
The way that I laugh when somebody is trying their best and bombing is like the meanest thing about me. Like it's terrible.
Yeah. So you don't get uncomfortable watching someone bomb?
No, I kind of love it.
I find it exciting. Great.
Yeah, especially if it's somebody who like really thinks they're the shit. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like if some fucking dude who walks in swinging his dick around, thinking he's the best, goes on stage and just falls flat on his face. I'm like, what is this? The best night of my life? Oh my God.
It's like watching models fall on the runway. It just feels good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's nice to be there for the humbling.
The idea of bombing while singing is so scary to me. It's the reason I don't do karaoke.
Yeah. Devastating.
Like I can't.
As a former karaoke host, I will say that if you were hosting and you watching somebody bomb, it's like you watching jokes bomb. I love like there are certain moments in a room, like when somebody would pick "Don't Stop Believing," and I knew from the moment I saw
them,
I could not pull it off.
Amazing!
And you watch the whole room turn and look, and their ears perk up, and they're like, "Oh, is the night about to turn?" And then when the person fucks up the beginning and they got nothing for 3 minutes, I'll just sit there and laugh.
You know, look,
the idea of doing it is scary, but watching it, oh my God. Oh, I love to watch a fucking train wreck, dude. It's amazing.
I do think we need to normalize like giving up on a karaoke song.
1,000%.
Like, you don't,
yeah.
If you suck at this song, drop the fucking mic and leave the stage. Away.
Get out of here, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wish they would make karaoke versions of songs, because there's a lot of songs that have very large instrumental breakdowns, or like, I just want one verse. That's all I wanted. We just want to get to the chorus.
Or a lot of songs
that fade out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, where they repeat the same lyric. No one ever commits to that part. Nobody wants to hear it.
And then they start looking around like a moron, like, when do I get off the stage? And it's like, literally whenever, dude.
Yeah, you
truly
leave.
Yeah, I yield my time to the next person.
Yeah, exactly. There should be chorus only karaoke, I think. Like, you just come up, you got like 20 seconds.
That's, most of the time people are like, I realized I only know this part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that I 100% that's what usually happens.
I also love when somebody goes up at karaoke who's like a singer and they pick a song that nobody knows, but it's like their song that they sing, and it's like, all right. You know, like, we were all kind of having a good time over here. But yeah, I guess you're talented or whatever.
Whatever. I know. I once knew a singer who invited us to her quote unquote show. And then we went and it was karaoke.
Amazing. Oh, no.
Wow.
That I'm obsessed with. That I think is amazing. That's like the most extreme version of inviting your friends to an open mic. And I think it's like, it's the funniest thing you can do. Like, if I was funnier when I was an open micer, I would have done that as a prank. You know what I mean? Like,
that is a really good prank.
I have a really good show if you guys want to come, and then I'm doing 3 minutes in a wet basement. That's amazing.
Oh, my God. We used to have a guy at our karaoke place that would come every week, and he would request, what's that song? Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz. And when it was starting, he'd go, all right, you guys want to hear the real song, or you want to hear a freestyle? And nobody would say anything. And he'd go, all right, freestyle. And then it was the same quote unquote freestyle every single week. Because I was there.
Honey.
And I was like, nope.
The only thing more embarrassing than men who think they can do stand up is men who think they can rap.
God.
It's amazing. Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Jokes about rap so that they can put rap lyrics into the joke.
Totally, yeah.
Yes,
very common.
I love it.
Yes.
The very sad turducken.
Okay, Lizzie, serious question. The Kardashians or the government?
The Kardashians. 100% the Kardashians. Oh my God. That's not even a little bit of a tough one for me. Because the Kardashians are like, at the end of the day, I mean, obviously they're billionaires, so they're not, but like, relatively harmless. You know what I mean? Like, you can be like, oh yeah, I guess they're setting unrealistic expectations for women's bodies.
Well, they're the Illuminati, which
might be
the government. This is a longer conversation.
Oh shit.
I don't know if we should be talking about this, you guys.
I know, we're saying this on microphones.
I want to get in someday if it's real. No, I think the Kardashians are also like, there are so many things they do that I don't think they realize are so funny.
And they are goofy.
They're goofy. Like, one of my favorite clips is Kylie is wearing real long fake acrylic nails, and she's talking to Kendall, and Kendall's like, I don't know how you do anything with those. And Kylie's like, I can do anything you can do. And Kendall goes, I mean, you can't do this. And then she just makes a fist. And Kylie goes, you're right, I can't do that. And I'm like, that's... I couldn't write a sketch that's that funny. That's so funny.
That is funny.
And like,
yeah,
when the government does something funny, it's like, just a bummer. Like,
people die.
On
like,
purpose.
Yeah.
That thing with, like, Mitch McConnell, where he, like, stroked out and couldn't answer a question, is, like, funny for a second, and then you're like, fuck, he's in charge, dude. That sucks.
Right,
that's
like, it was
so
funny
sad.
When Trump got COVID, but, like, not really, because lots of people were dying because of his terrible management of everything.
Right.
Dude, my sister and I are obsessed with the Kardashians. There was, I think it was a Christmas, when Chris rents Nancy Kerrigan as a decoration.
That's amazing. They're amazing. I just saw a clip recently where Kylie goes up to Chloe, and Chloe has fucking skin cancer, and Kylie goes, Mom just told me it's the melanomes. And Chloe's like, it's the gnomes.
Oh my God.
And like, my dad died of skin cancer, and I think that's hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm like, you're stupid, and I love you. You know? Also, like, the government is, if we're talking government versus Kardashians, we're talking girls versus boys. And I'm a girl's girl, okay? I'm a recovering guy's girl. I am a girl's girl. I'm picking the Kardashians.
This is great. Good call.
Perfect answer. Perfect answer.
Yeah, nailed it. Oh, my God. Okay, sauce on the side or sauce on top?
Oh, my God, this is so hard. This means a lot to me and is so hard because it really depends. Yeah. It depends on what we're fucking talking about here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you put sauce on top of, if you're someone who covers French fries and ketchup, I'll kill you.
No, yeah. I need a small side. I need a small side.
Dip. I need to be able to control it.
Yeah.
They're going to get soggy.
It's not nachos.
I can't with that behavior. That's like, you're an animal and you need to get out of my face.
Especially if you're sharing fries with someone, that's a real dick move.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You're going to control my ketchup intake.
No.
Also, like I'm white trash, dude. This shit is important to me, okay? I have to be able to control this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we're talking about, like, if I go to a restaurant and I get a salad in a bowl so I can't, like, shake it, and they put the dressing on the side, fuck you, dude. Yeah. Toss it up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You want me to toss my own salad at this restaurant?
I'm not flexible enough to do that, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I was like, pun intended.
Well, I guess this
asks. I'll get arrested.
Yeah. I agree. Like, you got to. I love a tossed salad. And and partially because I like was a teenager in the late 90s, and like one of my weird disordered like eating things is I would like, instead of putting dressing on the salad, I would dip the fork in the
Totally.
Yeah. And so now that I like am past that, I'm like, put all of the dressing on the salad. Like, I want all of the lettuce covered in dressing. Yeah.
Whatever that thing like white moms taught us about dressing being poison sucks so hard. And it's like
almond
lettuce sucks covered in dressing. Yeah. I know, but it's total almond mom shit. Salad lettuce sucks covered in dressing.
But I get it on the side just because I feel like the quota or the what is it? Whatever. It's always off. It's too much. Like, I don't need it.
Oh, okay.
Disgusting. So I
see,
I need to ratio it myself. You know,
I like
when it comes to salad.
Right? A light toss.
There we go.
That's good. Yeah. When it comes to salad, for me, it's hard for it to be too much dressing because I'm like, I'd rather like a wet grain bowl than a dry salad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm also realizing.
Most of what I eat is a bowl of mush. I love a bowl of mush for lunch. That's like my favorite thing.
We're considering a dressing a sauce, which if somebody was like, what kind of sauce you want on your salad?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Why is that? Is it because, well, I guess we said ketchup is a sauce too. I'm like, is it that a hot thing is sauce? No, because hot sauce is obviously sauce.
Well,
because
I think when you think sauce on the side or sauce on top, you don't really, like, sauce usually does come on the side for.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had like a pasta sauce on the side though.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here.
Imagine.
I hate that. When they give you it's all noodles and then a little glob, so you have to like mix the noodles.
Yeah, because then you see how globby it is.
Also, I'm like, have you never watched the Food Network one time?
Right.
They always tell you to combine it in the pan. Every episode of a Food Network TV shows, they're like, if you're making pasta, you got to combine the sauce and the pasta in the pan. It's like the first thing they teach you. And I'm like, you're going to run a restaurant without ever having seen the Food Network? That's crazy.
Disgusting. I love it. DM's sending something back to me like, can you combine this in the pan? Thank you so much.
Please, for the love of God, could you emulsify this? I can't cook for shit, and I'm talking out of my ass, but I do have strong opinions on
food. It doesn't matter. We all know. Yeah. We're all doctors because of the internet, and we're all cooks.
That's true.
I'm a blacksmith. I've watched a lot of Forged in Fire. Like, I know how to make
a
knife.
That's true.
I've watched so much Grey's Anatomy that my friends who are hypochondriacs call me when something's going wrong.
Okay.
I'm like trying to think of the trash aisle. I'm like, I know a lot about Rich Housewives, so
that's
about it.
Do love that, though.
I know nothing. Okay, Lizzie. Robots or dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
100% dinosaurs. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Robots scare the ever-living shit out of me. I, like, can't participate in a conversation about AI without having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
But dinosaurs are, first of all, I'm one of these girls who loves lizards, okay?
Yeah.
I love Like, if you have a snake, I'll fucking marry you, dude. I went on a date with a guy who had 7 lizards, and it sucked, and I went home with him just to meet the lizards. Like, this is who I am in my bones. I want a lizard so bad, but I don't want to own live bugs. And if I'm going to own a lizard, I want it to be happy, you know? So it has to have live bugs. But, yeah, if there were dinosaurs around, I'd be thrilled. Like, I'm also, I'm an animal girl. Like, I grew up training horses and, like, having dogs and cats and shit. So I'm, like, delusional enough to think that I can make any animal fall in love with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I could have a pet dinosaur. I could figure that out.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That's
They're
so
just
nice.
Dragons, right? If you can train a dragon, you can train a dinosaur.
There's got to be little ones that are cool.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, one time I was on shrooms, I was with Babs, actually, and this house had chickens. And I realized like how much like dinosaurs they are.
Dude, all birds are lizards. I've been saying this for years.
So true.
And all lizards are dinosaurs.
If you look in their eyes, you can hear them screaming. That they used to be a thunder lizard. Like,
dude, if you shave a bird, that's a lizard.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
A naked chicken is exactly a T-Rex.
Yes, 100%. And then like a regular lizard is a T-Rex on its stomach.
Right.
You know? Like they're all the same thing.
I love lizards.
Do you have lizards in New York?
Yeah, we have tons of lizards here.
We don't have lizards in New York, no.
I'm sorry.
I mean, if you go like outside of the city, you can find like a salamander for sure.
Yeah, they're all over the place here. Like, you open the door.
Also we have like freaky weirdos here, so like the other day I held a snake in a bar, you know?
Yes.
Because like a guy brought his snake that's his wife or whatever.
There should be a chameleon guy in Silver Lake, I think, that would just walk around with him on his shoulder like his conscience.
Yeah. I want to be that guy so bad. It's like a problem in my life. Like, my friends won't let me get a lizard because they're like, you would bring it on stage. And I'm like, of course I'd fucking bring it on stage. What are you, nuts? Yeah. I'm trying to set myself apart here.
By the way, I had a roommate once who like had all kinds of weird pets, and she kept... She had one of them was a snake and one of them was a lizard. And one morning she had crickets on the toaster oven and I didn't see them and I accidentally cooked the crickets.
See, this is why I can't have one because I can't deal with I don't like bugs. No. I like,
I
do like creepy crawly things, but I don't like bugs.
The feeding of all of these animals is because I like them too. I've really been like lately, like I want a snake, I want a lizard. I'm
so more. Happy. I'm so happy you're on the same page as me with this because this is an argument I get in every fucking day. Like, I've only been dating my boyfriend for like a month, but when I was single, I was like, I think I'm going to get a lizard. And all my friends were like, you know, that's going to like narrow your dating pool. Like, a guy's not going
to
want to fuck a lizard girl. And I was like,
guy.
I said. I was like, I don't want to fuck a guy who doesn't want to fuck a lizard girl. Like, that's
literally
crazy.
Last night.
But then they pointed out that they pointed out that my name is Lizzie, which like does feel a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Or is it perfect?
My friend comedian Dave Ross, who you may know.
We know Dave.
Yeah, he told me when I was talking about this, and he was like, "You should go on stage and just say my name's Lizzie Cassidy, short for lizard, and then start your set." And I was like, "Man, that's the funniest thing anyone's ever said."
Yeah, we were watching a show last night where there was like a snake in it, and I just said to my boyfriend, "I saw a really cute snake today." He was like, "What?" He's like, "No, there's no such thing." And I was like, "No, I swear, its name was Pineapple."
No, they are cute.
Its name was Pineapple. It's on TikTok. It was like this beautiful, amazing yellow, like, aww, snake. And
when I held that snake, when I went to that bar and held that snake, I sent a picture to my boyfriend, and I was like, "Get me this snake, or I'm gonna go home with this guy." I was like, "You gotta buy a snake, or this guy's gonna be my husband."
You'll be the snake.
And then I was like, also, you have to feed it because I don't want to touch frozen mice, but get me one.
Yeah.
Do you like the feeling of, because I like holding a snake. No, I won't say I like it. I will hold a snake.
I love it.
But it freaks me out when you can feel them like tightening around you. Does that not bother you?
I love it. I love feeling their little weird bones. I'm also like, I'm like a fucking freak, dude. Every animal I want like a hairless dog. I want a hairless cat. I want like animals that I have to rub salves on. Like, I don't know. I think maybe I want a baby, but
they need lots of salves.
Yeah, a lot of salves on a baby.
I just want like all these little skin creatures, and I have no interest in a baby, but I do want like, I do want like a dog that's all skin that I can put clothes on. So I don't know. Maybe my body's trying to tell me something.
Yeah, an animal that needs sunscreen is always like, what's
happening? Oh my God, dude, you are speaking to my heart.
Wait, like, do animals need sunscreen?
What animals? I had a horse that needed sunscreen. Yeah, I was obsessed with that.
That is.
Can they use human sunscreen? What do they use?
No, they make horse sunscreen so you can spray it on them. It's so cute because like some of them have pink skin.
Yeah.
So it burns. So you got to sunscreen them up. And I love having a moment with an animal where I'm like, God, if you lived in the wild, you'd die. You know?
Yeah.
You're like, I just love when something needs me. That's why I date guys with sleep apnea. Right. I'm like, you need me to wake you up or you'll choke on your own tongue. I love you.
Holy shit. All right. We're going to start the adopting process. We'll be back in a second, everybody. Hey, everybody. We're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Lizzie.
And it's time for Lady Problems. You can email us, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, or give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady Problems. Lady Problems. Lady Problems. Do you have them? Lady Problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hey, ladies. Longtime listener here. I just had a quick lady problem for you. I've been with my now husband. We've been together for 8 years, married for 2, and we have a 1-year-old together now. My lady problem is that I've noticed that he likes to ask for help for very like mundane tasks that I do on my own all the time. So like, for instance, you know, I'll come home from work. I will, you know, make the baby dinner. I will give her a bath. I'll feed her. I'll do all these things on my own without any help. And then if the role is reversed, it's like, hey, can you please watch her while I cook? Because I can't cook and watch the baby at the same time. And, you know, I'm like, at this point, maybe trying to relax or something. I have someone here to help me. And I don't know. I kind of am torn because I'm like, it's good that he is asking for help. And maybe I am just not very good at asking for help or, you know, needing the help, I guess, asking for it. But also I'm like, you know, why can't you take care of some of these tasks without my help? So I feel like whenever we're together taking care of her, we're together taking care of her. Whereas, I'm not constantly asking for his help, and I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a me problem or what, but I've noticed this in the past, you know, even before we had a baby, it would be like, can you help me put the sheets on the bed? When for me, I'm like, that's something I can do on my own. So I just don't understand why I need to stop what I'm doing to come help you do that. So I don't know. Am I just being an asshole, or is there a way that I could convey this to him where it's like, hey, can you please just do this on your own? Give me a break. All right. Love you, ladies. Bye.
This is every woman that I've ever met in my life who's like, I don't know. I think I'm the problem here because my husband can't make the bed. And it's like, I want to free you so badly. Like, yeah. Of course you're not the problem. No. He should, and I don't want to shit on this lady's husband too much, but like, yeah, he's being an asshole. Like, yeah. He knows how to do these things and he doesn't want to do them. And that's why he's asking you to help with them. I don't know if you guys are Sex and the City heads. I sure am.
I'm doing a rewatch right now, actually. Yes.
Okay, me too. But I'm not watching the new, like, And Just Like That. Because
I did it because I couldn't watch And Just Like That. I was like,
yes.
I'm just gonna go.
Yeah. I love you. I'm the same way. But I saw a clip from And Just Like That where Charlotte is talking to her husband and she's sick and her husband goes, so her husband is like taking care of what she usually does around the house. And he's like, I'm doing everything. And she says, I know you feel like you're doing everything because you made a few breakfasts and you dropped the kids off at school a couple times. but you're doing the bare minimum. And she was like, every day I do what women have been expected to do our whole lives and for centuries. And I don't complain and I don't ask you for help. And now I'm asking you to do the minimal amount of that. And you're coming in my bedroom while I'm sick and acting like I'm the problem. And like, I think this is something that women experience across the board all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like when it comes to men and weaponized incompetence, it's such a systemic issue that I feel like we need to like Lysistrata it.
Yes.
Like, I think we Lizzie. All need to stop fucking them until they start making the fucking bed.
Lysistrata has been long overdue, first of all.
I know. I've been saying this.
I mean,
but then that's another thing.
But it's their
another
dick, way that, we like, love their dick, unfortunately.
It's another way that women are getting fucked over, because it's like, wait, now I can't get fucked because you're an asshole? Right. That also sucks.
Yes. That
we need to move to an island and fuck each other until they figure out how to cook and clean or something.
I mean, well, and I think the systemic thing of it is, it is a cultural systemic thing. And frankly, like anyone out there right now who's raising little boys, try not to let this happen to your kid. Because I do think that learned helplessness comes from an early age. And sometimes I do have to remember, like, I also have that because of sexism. Like, mm-hmm. I had to have my husband teach me how to change a tire, even though my brother, who's a year and a half younger than me, always knew how to change a tire.
Or you mm-hmm. have the opposite thing because of sexism, where you just do the stuff.
You'll just think
about it. And you don't think about, like this woman said, like, you don't think about asking for help with it. When it's mm-hmm. like, no, you don't actually have to just do everything. I mean, like, you can take it outside of relationships. And if you think about, like, have you ever produced a comedy show with a man? Like,
yeah.
Who put together that email list?
Right.
Because I don't think it was him. You know what I mean? Have you ever done a school project with a man? Who fucking made that poster board? You know?
Right.
Because they're always doing the thing where they're like, you're just so much better at it. And it's like, yeah, I'm better at it because I've done it before.
That's
You're
right.
just not doing it.
Well, and that's the shift that needs to happen is like, this guy, all this husband and all these types of people, they need to realize like, okay, maybe you don't know how to make a bed. We'll give you that. Guess what's going to happen if you go in there alone and try to figure it out? You're going to learn how to make a bed.
Yeah. Hey,
you also, what the fuck?
I know you're watching a lot of guitar videos on YouTube.
Right.
You can just YouTube how to make a bed.
Right.
Just pop this that is right also, in the mix.
This is also the problem of like, when they are trying to get you versus when they have you. Because I know the first time I came over to your apartment, your fucking bed was made. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and now all of a sudden now that it's our bed, you don't know how to make the bed. I call fucking bullshit on that, dude.
Agreed.
If I told you I wasn't going to suck your dick until that bed was made, that bed would be fucking made.
I will say, God bless my husband. Like, I'm one of those women, as soon as I got married, I just stopped. I started obsessively buying throw pillows for the bed. I
have love that.
I have
love that.
14. They come on and off every day. And like usually I'm the one, I love making the bed. Like he calls me the bed fairy. Like I love doing it. But like some mornings I'll be busy and he, like, to his credit, does try to do it on his own. But I started taking pictures of the way he arranges the pillows. Like in my head, like it makes perfect sense. Like you have your big fatties and then you have your little cuties and then they all
kind of
stick together.
Yes.
And you guys get it. You guys would all make the bed in a rational way. This guy, we've got rectangle pillows going vertically. We've got we got the small ones behind the big
nightmare.
Ones.
Nightmare.
We got little cuties hiding behind big fatties.
Exactly. You can put a little cutie behind a big fatty. That's crazy.
Exactly.
You gotta prop up the big fatty though. Maybe he was trying.
Unless you're me having sex with my boyfriend, and then you for sure can. But dude, yeah, that's like. And then that's one of those things where you're like, I guess I'll just fucking do it myself. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, it's okay. He tried.
Exactly.
But I think it's like, it's important to be like, okay, if you like making the bed, then like you're the person who makes the bed. What can he do while you're making the bed so that you don't have to like clean the bathroom after you've made the bed?
Yeah. That's
you
know it. What I mean? Exactly. Yeah. It's all about like not that you're going to love every task, but like I do strongly believe in like find the things that you mind the least. Call dibs on those. That's your fucking thing. give your partners, they have clear shit that they're supposed to do. But it is, I think it's like, in terms of like this person's husband, it's like, he's got to get over that. It's not that he can't learn these things and he's so close. Like he's trying. Mm-hmm. By asking help, he does want to learn. So I think you just need to tell him like, it's a very like, you need to be an autodidact. Like you need to teach yourself how to make spaghetti. That is.
Yeah. I also think men are stuck in this like thinking of like, I work all day, so you clean everything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, first of all, I don't know any fucking couple that doesn't both work these days.
Right. Yeah.
Also, you work all day, but we're not fucking cavemen, so your job is emails.
Yeah.
You can still clean the bathroom after you sent 9 emails.
Yeah. Right. I'm not telling
like, you're fine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, for I think that's something that really stood out to me with this caller said was that she called them mundane tasks, which I think means to her that they mean less or something. And then therefore it like shouldn't matter to her that he's asking, but they're not mundane. These are the things keep your household together. They're necessary to keep your life going and they're necessary for you to get breaks on because they take up
time. Another way to do it, like to your point of them seeming mundane, if you don't want to go on a sex strike, stop doing it. And see how he feels when your house is a fucking mess. Because he's not going to be happy, you know? Yeah. Nobody wants to live in a fucking gross, unorganized apartment.
And, this is the one of the number one things that breaks couples up is this kind of stuff because it is a sign of respect. You know, it's not, it means so much more than just the bed getting made or whatever. It means that like, you don't respect me enough to just fucking do this without, you know, without taking up my time.
I think the problem, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I bet when you guys were like just the two of you without a baby too, he was getting a lot more attention from you too. And now he has much less attention because there's a helpless baby to be taken care of. So he's probably also just like, well, I want that attention that I used to get in this relationship too. I think that's probably a part of it as well.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's also like, if you think about the long con of this, it's a really good example for your baby, whether it's a, whatever the gender the baby is. My mom worked and my dad was a stay-at-home dad. And now, like, I have different expectations of men than some of my friends do. Because my dad cooked and cleaned and raised my brother and I, like, while my mom was at work. So I only want to be with men who are willing to do those things because I have a career that I love, you know? And so it's like that's such a good example to set for your child because then they like it just opens up a world of options for them. If the child is male, then they're like, I could be a dad and that could mean whatever it means. Or if the child is like a woman, it's like, I can have a career and I can find a man that wants to take care of my house. Like all of these things are options to you now. And it doesn't have to be like mommy cooks and daddy works, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I'm going to give the guy a little bit of credit because I honestly do think in his head, he's trying, like, I think he's trying. I'm supposed to be doing this. How do I do it? And like, you are better at everything than him. So he's asking you because naturally, he knows you're better at everything. Yeah. And so he's honestly like, oh, she's so good at it. How do I, you know, like, so he's feeling overwhelmed maybe a little bit. And that's why he's asking you for the help. But something I've had to say sometimes before and explain that actually like did seem to like get through is like, it takes, if I have to explain it to you, I may as well do it.
Yes.
Like the energy 100%. Of having to teach someone something is in a lot of ways more time consuming and more exhausting than just doing it yourself. And that's why I think a lot of people in these situations just end up doing it themselves because it is kind of easier to just move on. Yeah. I'll do it.
That's where maybe the answer is like, in, where it's like, they don't know they're being manipulative necessarily, but they are, you know?
And they don't know they're asking you for like emotional labor when you're asking them for a break. I think maybe the answer to this is like, teach him once. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't teach him how to make the bed every time the bed needs to be made. Teach him one time how to make the bed.
Yeah.
And then the next time that he asks you about it, be like, remember that thing I told you? Do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's people going off to college that have never done a load of laundry. And, like, that's shitty. And their parents fucked them up. But, like, it is kind of embarrassing. I have adult friends that have had to learn how to swim as adults. You know, I mean, there are some skills that we don't get in childhood that is, like, it can seem to us like, oh, you don't know how to do that? But it's like, okay, you might actually need to learn. Okay, you put the fucking Tide Pod in and then you hit that button and then fine, you get one of those.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm sorry you didn't learn that as a kid. You get one of those. And that.
And then if you forget, fucking Google it.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm Googling shit all the, like, stupid household shit all the time. Because I'm like, wait, how do I do this? I just look it up. It's on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, like, whole Instagram and TikTok accounts of, like, people that are like, this is how to do things the right way to have a perfect house. Like, give them some clicks. Give them some views. They need
shit. There are more resources available to you than there have ever been in human history. Yeah. You can figure this out.
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually going to amend my position. I don't think the wife should do any of these lessons. I agree. They should go straight to YouTube.
Yeah. It's all on YouTube. Like that more.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube. Yeah. If you truly don't know, get out your fucking phone.
Yeah, do a little research.
You're
on Wikipedia reading about war. Like, you can read about some other shit too.
The amount of times a man has texted me a question that I'm like, do you think I am Google? Like, it's the same amount of typing. Fucking type it in.
Oh, I know.
I think, you know, if you don't want to be like, I'm not going to suck your dick unless you change the sheets, then I would say, like, honey, legit, like, I love you, but I'm going to show you how to do this, and then you can't ask me again because, like, it's too much.
Yeah. Well, and, like, to give him, like, some, but is he, like, nervous he's going to, like, fuck up the baby? Like, is he scared? Then you could be like, hey, I trust you. You got this. Like, maybe boost his confidence that he's not going to kill your child and be like, I'm on break right now. You're in charge. This is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't, you have to, if you're going to be someone who has a baby, you have to get over that fear.
Yeah. You have to.
Oh, God, I can't imagine. Yeah.
I know. Oh, my God.
It's just a, you know.
That's true. And I mean, I am a big believer in, like, positive reinforcement, too. Like, for the, you know, when he makes the bed on his own, like, notice it.
Great
and
job.
Be like, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for making the bed.
Yeah, maybe instead of.
Let's go.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe instead of threatening not to suck his dick if he doesn't do it, just suck his dick if he does do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know? That works. That works on them. Mm-hmm.
There you go. You could get a little chore chart with, like, a dick sticker.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is, like, if I'm dating a guy who's in a bad mood, I'm like, I'll just give him a blowjob. And then afterwards, they're like, do you want to go to brunch? And I'm like, of course I want to go to brunch.
The bad mood blowjob is a real, it's a good.
It's a real thing. Problem. Yeah.
It's a real lifeline.
All right. Let's do one more.
All right.
Hi, ladies. I just left a message, but I have to redo it, which I'm sure happens a lot, and I will not get in my head about it. My lady problem is that I can never pick what to watch when I have downtime to watch TV. I have a Letterboxd, so, like, I keep track of, like, movies that people mention or whatever, like, so I have a watch list, but once it comes down to it, like, I'm watching trailers, I'm like, you know, like, I'm going to pick what I want to watch before I go upstairs to watch TV. And then I'm, like, flipping between Netflix and Sling and HBO and Stars and this and that. And it's, like, I watch 5 seconds of something, and then I'm, like, no, this doesn't feel right, whatever. And then I'm just wasting all this time trying to pick something, and then I either just, like, don't watch anything, or I just rewatch Peep Show or the Fire of Love documentary, which, like, I've seen both of those things, like, so many times. And I don't know, like, I used to really like to get high and, like, just relax and watch, like, an hour and a half movie, and now I just literally can't pick anything. So if you have any advice, I would love that. All right, love you guys, bye.
This lady is me, dude. I have the exact same problem. I always, like, every time I start dating a guy, I tell him, like, you know that hacky joke about how women can't pick where to eat? That was written about me. Like, I can't make a decision to save my fucking life. And I have the same TV problem where I'm, like, rewatching House for the sixth time. And I'm like, what are we up to right now?
Love it. Love House.
Rules. It's so good. I think the thing that you need to do is, like, you have to stop putting pressure on yourself to pick the perfect thing.
Yes.
Like, just pick something you enjoy. It doesn't matter what it is, because the point is for you to be relaxing. So, like, if you're like, man, I really feel like I should watch this movie that everyone is saying I should watch. If you're not having fun, it doesn't matter. Like, rewatch House if that's what makes you feel good. Or, like, do a Sex and the City rewatch. Do something like that, because it's, like, the point. Put more pressure on relaxing and less pressure on what you're consuming.
Totally.
Because it doesn't at the end of the day, it really doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it sounds like you're like, yeah. I do this thing where I get obsessed with time and it's like, my time must be spent correctly. And then
me
you
too.
Over, yes. And then mm-hmm. it'll paralyze me because I won't end up fucking doing anything or, you know. So I think you need to, yeah, get to a thing where the choice is just being made and you're allowing yourself or whatever that experience is going to be. And something that could be fun is like, say you, what if you either on an app on your phone or like in, you know, on strips of paper, divided like a few categories, like comedy, whatever, put the stuff that you want to watch in and then just be like, oh, I'm in the mood for a rewatch. You pick something out of the thing, or I'm in the mood for a comedy. Pick something out,
fun.
And then it's like, it's chosen. It's what you're going to watch tonight. Mm-hmm. You can decide if you want to keep going like the next night with it or not, you know?
A big thing I like to do is if I'm deciding between two things, I'll flip a coin. Yeah. And I don't necessarily do what the coin says, but the coin makes me realize how I feel. Yeah, totally. So if I'm like, heads is House and tails is Sex and the City, and then it comes up tails and I feel bummed out, I know that I wanted to watch House.
Totally.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Totally, totally. Well, and they've also done studies that like, we like to rewatch stuff because we know what's going to happen. And that is mm-hmm. very calming for us. So it's like, yeah. when you're watching stuff, it's not that you're like boring or weird. It's that you're just like, I just don't want any surprises. I just want to know what's coming and
yeah,
just go through this journey again. And it's comforting. Yeah.
I always joke that I don't like good TV or good movies. Like whenever people are like, have you seen like, if someone's like, have you seen Oppenheimer? Because like everyone's talking about it. I'm like, I have no interest in anything that's critically acclaimed because I have no interest in watching things that other people told me to watch. Like,
yeah.
I'm also like, I've never seen The Godfather because I won't watch anything that more than three men have told me to. but like, I think that is helpful because it's like, if you're saying, I don't want to watch Grey's Anatomy because I'm judging myself for thinking it's trashy, fucking watch something trashy.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to quiz you about what you watched last night. Nobody fucking cares. And if they do care, they are a fucking loser.
Cut them out. Yeah. Yep. And I just feel like anytime something feels like homework to you, start to be aware of that sensation and knock it off. Like, TV-wise, like, you're not here for... Unless you literally do have to watch something for homework.
I think...
It should just be you chilling.
But I think it also goes both ways, because I think, like, you... like, for example, the other night, you know, Adam was like, let's watch this weird movie I never heard of called Dark City, and I was like, all right. And it's something that I think, like, I would have normally been like, I don't want to fucking watch this. You know what I mean? But I just said, all right, fine. Yeah. And then I like really enjoyed it. So I think also.
But you enjoyed it.
Yes.
That's the thing. I think like once you start it, if you're like, and you're like dredging your way through it.
Oh yeah. No. If that had been happening, no. But I think also I'm glad I gave the chance because I think sometimes I would have been like, no, fuck this. I don't want to see this at all. You know?
Yeah. It also sounds to me that this lady might have a touch of the ADHD, which like I'm riddled with. And that feeling
riddled with
dude, it's like it's all over my body. It's insane. I can't escape it. But that feeling of like I watched something for 5 seconds and now I want to change it to something else is like an ADHD feeling. And I think right now there's a lot of societal pressure to like not be on your phone. And fuck that. Like the best way for me to turn the noise off in my brain is to scroll through TikTok for 6 hours because it's like constantly moving in time with my crazy, insane brain. So it makes me feel like the noise is quieter. Mm-hmm. So like if it's easier for you to watch a bunch of really short videos like that, if that makes you feel relaxed, then that's what you should do.
Totally.
Like stop. You have to stop thinking about like, would someone judge me right now for staring at my phone for 6 hours? Turn off your screen time report and stare at your phone. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. Nobody's talking about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Or, you know, you can also cast your phone to your TV and then technically you're watching TV, but it's big.
Yeah.
It's big videos.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I usually only have like an hour to watch TV every day. And because of so much, I will usually like yesterday, as soon as Babs, you sent that Salt Lake City trailer, I was like, well, that's my hour tonight. So I will usually like pre-plan like what it's going to be earlier in the day so that when I sit down, I kind of know what I'm going to watch.
Oh, that's a good call.
But I don't know if that works for everybody because I'm sure like for me, it works just because I'm like, I just got in my head. I'm going to watch a couple episodes.
Yeah, that does give me the homework feeling for sure.
Okay.
But then if you listen to the homework feeling, then that can like guide you to what you really want to do.
I tried to.
Yeah.
last night we were like sitting down for dinner and we're like, all right, what are we going to watch? And I was like, I have an idea. And I started Vanderpump Rules episode one, season one. And like,
let's go.
Like, my boyfriend started getting into it with me. I did a whole, I watched all the show. He got into it like maybe around season seven. So he has not seen the beginning.
The beginning's really good.
And I was and he was like, no, he was like, I'm not ready for this.
Because you guys just finished
we
it.
We did. And I got it. I flew too close to the sun.
Sure.
But it was just so.
That was like when I tried to get Sean to listen to the 10-minute version of All Too Well. I was like.
Yeah, that's.
I was like, this.
That's for girls, dude. That's just for us. You can't like force a guy through. It's like. That's for us. That's for us to cry to together for sure.
Yeah, it didn't work. Someday it'll happen. Okay, I have to say this really quick. We don't have to get super into it, but I finally started in Just Like That. I have avoided it the whole time. And I...
Okay, thoughts? So did you see Big Diet?
Yeah, well, that's the very beginning. Yeah, I saw...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in season two. I really like it. I'm not hate watching it. I think it's a good show.
That's good to know because I do want to like it. I also am like... I think one of the reasons I don't want to watch it is because Big dies. And yeah. I'm like a toxic piece of shit. So I love him, you know?
And also I'm like in the Big Aiden era right now. And I'm like, yeah, it had to be Big. Like we want to say it's Aiden, but it's Big. I just watched the episode where he comes to Aiden's summer house.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I think everyone talking shit on it made me have such low expectations that I was like, whatever. Mm. And so I also already knew the bad shit that happened. So I was expecting it. Like the ridiculous, especially the stand up character. You're just like, Jesus.
I was going to say the fact that they put stand up in it
is
like,
so funny.
And podcasting. I'm like, nobody has a podcast boss.
Yeah. She's like, are you my podcast boss?
What?
I'm like, are you trying to hurt me? Why would you do this to me?
It's
like,
really funny.
I can't.
Because
the club that Che performs at is in New York. And I have and do perform there. And I'm like, why would you fucking do this with my favorite show? Like, this is a nightmare
really
for me.
It's really funny, too, because Che has this whole thing where, like, a pilot doesn't go or something. And then they stop. They just completely stop doing stand-up. And I was like, what? I was like, this is not... People keep doing stand up. Like, you don't stop that part. That's the only part you can do.
Yeah, but it also is realistic to like a specific type of comedian. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
there's definitely
a lot of comedians that didn't have a pilot going where we're like, well, why do I even fucking do this? And it's like
and their stand up was always trash anyway.
Right,
and you're like,
that's
bye.
True, that's
exactly.
They're always like the climber anyway.
It's like, yeah, we were also all asking why you do this. You stink at it. So,
but yeah, I
okay. So Babs, should I watch season two? I watched season one. Should I watch season two?
I guess. I mean, but I think that a lot of people aren't looking at it the same way as I am. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Just like watching older women, like do random shit. I think it's like fun to watch.
I do love watching older women do
random
shit,
which is like rare. You know. So,
dude, I watched. Speaking of that, I know we're running long, but I watched 80 for Brady on a plane.
How was it?
Oh, that looked funny. Was that funny?
Yeah, it did.
It's. Like and just like that, Tom Brady.
Out of touch.
It made me realize the craziest person in 80 for Brady is Tom Brady.
Yeah,
he's the one that comes off looking the craziest by far.
The only reason I haven't watched 80 for Brady is because, like I said, I'm a recovering guys girl. My dad was a football coach, so I'm like a football girl, and I hate Tom Brady.
So do I. So you might like it because he comes off really bad.
That's really good to know because I thought he was going to come off really well, and that's why I haven't watched it.
He's trying to come off.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds so cringe.
Love that.
Oh, God.
It's really cringe. But yeah, I love those gals. I just love those
gals.
Yeah, it was cool to see that movie get made.
Exactly.
Oh, good. More,
I'm just
more shit like
if
this.
If it's an older woman, I want to see it. I'm in.
Also, I love like that a movie like that got made and gave like, then Jane Fonda was going on The View talking about how like climate change is a product of systemic racism.
God,
and I was like, let's fucking go,
dude.
She's the
fucking best.
Like, yeah, let's give her more opportunities to be in front of a camera, even if it's like because she made a corny movie.
Totally.
Like that's fucking rules.
Yeah. I'll watch Lily Tomlin in anything. We got 2 Rita Moreno movies. I think 3 last year. Yes, please.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
So that's our suggestion. Go watch 80 for Brady tonight, if you're wondering.
But get high. Get really high before 80 for Brady, y'all.
Lizzie, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
So
fun.
Hell yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you online, where they can listen to your podcasts.
So my Instagram is at Lizzie Cassidy, Lizzie with a Y at the end, and everything is linked in there. But my podcast with Kevin is called Close Calls. Like I said, it's a comedy podcast about near-death experience is. And my other podcast is called Respectfully. It's brand new. It's all over my Instagram. It's on YouTube. And I do it with comedian Andrea Allen. And we talk about dating and sex and shit that's fucking annoying. And it's like similar to this. It's just like it's ladies gabbing about lady stuff.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we have boys on and make them feel weird. Same. So that's fine too.
Good call.
Same. Hell yeah. All right, guys. Well, we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye,
bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I just listened to the most recent episode with Funky Johnson, and I have a great prank idea for the caller with all the rage. So we're going to go on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever you prefer, and we're going to put an ad in for something free that, depending on whatever area you're in, you think people really want. So free chickens or golden doodles, gerbils, whatever. Be creative. But it has to be something that you think people really want and would want for free. And then put this person's phone number down so they will be absolutely inundated with these questions about free chickens or whatever. And then they'll have to change their phone number. All right. Good luck. Hey, ladies. This is Laura J again. I'm just going to defend Punky. And you know what? We all pee in a lake and a river and all that stuff. And in my kiddie pool, and I'll just throw in a little bit of extra for Reed. And Tess, you do pee in marathons. So what is the difference? Don't you love how that feels? Anyway, pro pee. That's all I'll say. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.